Today, we celebrate the 4th of July, Independence Day for our country. And you know, I love this holiday, and my family will tell you that I get more excited about the 4th of July than I do any holiday that we celebrate. There are so many traditions, so many activities that go along with this holiday. When we think of the 4th of July, of course, we think about the picnics, we think about the cookouts, we think about the family gatherings, and we think about the fireworks. And I want everyone to know that you're invited to my backyard this evening, and we're going to do all of the above, and we would love for you to come and be a part of that. You know, when we think about the 4th of July, I guess one word that comes to our mind is the word liberty. And when we think of liberty, we think about this particular statue that is in New York City, the Statue of Liberty. You know, she stands in New York Harbor, and it has stood there since October the 28th, 1886. And it is a symbol of welcoming all of those around the world to enter into our land of freedom, and our land of liberty. There is an inscription that is at the base of the statue, and I want to read to you what it says. It says, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning to breathe free. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me, the wretched refuse from your teeming shore. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." You know, being free is at the heart of everything it means to be an American. And it's really quite difficult sometimes to exactly define what we mean by freedom. You see, freedom means different things to different people. When our forefathers came up with the idea of independence, it meant freedom to do good, freedom to serve God, without any kind of interference from anyone in any way. And as this idea developed, it also developed the idea of being free from government, which led to the revolution that we went through in the 1700s. You know, one immigrant came to America in 1775, and he said that Americans are just liberty mad. They just yearn so much for this freedom, this liberty. And, you know, according to the Declaration of Independence, liberty is second only to life. And it leads you to think that life is really not important unless you have liberty. We all know well the words of Patrick Henry, which said, "Give me liberty or give me death." You know, in the 18th and 19th century, the definition of freedom kind of changed. It meant an opportunity to develop your talents and your skills. It meant an opportunity to use your abilities in life, and therefore we had, in this time period, the Industrial Revolution. In the 20th century, it meant the freedom to choose. You could wear your own clothes, your own lifestyle, you could experience your own sexuality, your own religion. Everything was just personal freedom in the life of people, and that began in the 20th century. However, when the founding fathers acknowledged that freedom was endowed by God, that it was for all people in this life, they failed to apply that in their own lives and in the places in America. Because you see, not everyone in America had equal freedom. When even after the founding fathers said everyone needs freedom. The Native Americans, the African Americans, the women of America, they were restricted in their freedoms. Now much of that has been improved, much of that has been changed in an attempt to make freedom for everyone on an equal basis. You know, this morning what I would like to talk about is how our concept of freedom has changed over the years. And then I want to talk about the Bible concept of freedom. You know, we find in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus. There was a group of oppressed believers in God who did not have freedom in life. Now, the first idea that we have about freedom comes from these Egyptians, where the Egyptians had the Israelites in bondage. God's people were enslaved, and they were under harsh conditions. And they cried out to God, and they cried out for freedom. And God gave them their freedom from Egyptian bondage. But there is one thing that He didn't do. Even though He freed them from Egyptian bondage, He didn't just turn them loose and let them go. He gave to them some things that would help them cultivate their freedom that they had just received. Read with me from Exodus chapter 19, beginning with verse 3. It says, Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the sons of Israel, You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. Well, now wait a minute. Didn't you just say that we were going to be free? And now he is saying, if you obey my voice, if you obey my will, you shall be my people. You shall be my possession. That doesn't equal freedom in my thinking. What do you mean I have to obey you? Well, I'm free now. And not only that, to make matters worse, God gave them laws. Laws that they had to abide by. And it began with the Ten Commandments. And it just kept going. Now, when you read this story and you see that God has set the people free from Egypt, it looks like now they're just slaves to God, doesn't it? You know, this was sort of the way the pre-revolutionary notions of freedom were. They had a misunderstanding of the word freedom. In 1645, a man by the name of John Winthrop gave a speech to the Massachusetts legislator, and this is what he said. He spoke of two kinds of freedom. He spoke of natural freedom. He spoke of moral freedom. Now, natural freedom simply means you do whatever you want to do. Sort of like it was back in the 20th century, right? You do what you want to do. And even if it leads to evil, because you're free. You can live as you want to do. You can do what you want to do. You can say what you want to say, and even if it hurts someone else in the process. On the other hand, there is moral freedom, which means that you are free to do what is right. You are free to do that which is good. You are free to worship your God and to live a good, clean life. This kind of freedom means that you can submit to God and be righteous and not have to worry about what anybody else says about it. This freedom means that you have freedom to serve Him and live for Him. This natural freedom means that you just live frivolously. Most early Americans saw that when you did what you wanted to do, this natural freedom, as it is called, it simply led to slavery because you were still a slave to the things in this life. Lack of self-control, worldly indulgence, it all equals to slavery. But the other freedom, the moral freedom, means that you will submit to a better way of life. You know, even Jesus saw sin as slavery. John chapter 8 and verse 34, he said, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. When God set the children of Israel free, he set them free from bondage. He did not set them free from him because he knew that his life was a better one. You know, when you think about it, it can be kind of puzzling how, when you think about submitting to God, how does that mean freedom? It means that you have to still follow the rules. You know, when I was in school, in high school, I thought, boy, when I get that diploma, I'm going to be free. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. 18-year-old, I'm a man of my own. Well, about that time they changed the law. You have to be 21. I had 3 more years. Well, I reached 21. Now I'm a man of my own. I already had my college degree then. I'm going to do what I want to do because I am free. Then I walked in that first day at Motorola when I went to work, and I realized I'm not free. I'm still not free. I have to answer to these people now. I can't just do what I want to do, live like I want to get. I can't just think about myself only. And then comes September 21st, 1984. And I really lost my freedom that day. Yeah, that's my wedding anniversary. I can't think of just me anymore. When I walked into that house, I was told, these top two drawers are mine. You go to the bottom. I'm not free. Well, I have to tell you something, folks. It's the greatest slavery I've ever lived. We have to be free. But even with our freedoms, we still have to follow the rules. Because rules are designed to make our lives better. You know, how can we be suppressed and call ourselves free? Well, you know, the Lord suppressed the Israelites with the intent to stop oppression. Now, we know what oppression is. For example, Exodus 22, verse 21. We are not to oppress the stranger. So we have been suppressed from giving strangers a hard time because we're not to oppress them. Leviticus 19:34, we are to love the alien. And I'm not talking about people from Mars. I'm talking about people from Canada and Mexico and the other countries on this earth. We're not to oppress them. We're to love them. We're to help them. And on down the list goes, no slaves for life in the kingdom. In other words, under the old law, a slave, you couldn't have a slave for so long, and then you had to set him free. It wasn't that way under American slavery, folks. When they were slaves for life. Do not send a slave away empty-handed. Not only do you have to let them go after a period of time, you have to see to it that they can take care of themselves when you do let them go. We are to treat each other with humanity. We are not to oppress the hired servants. We are to be fair and not pervert justice. We are to make provisions for those who are less fortunate than we are, for the poor. In other words, they were to leave all the old stuff behind. But you know, they failed. They did not follow through God's plan. It's just like the abused child. He grows up to abuse other people. They still thought and act like abusive Egyptians. They craved evil things, just like the Egyptians. And later, they would continue their evil when they became in the land of Canaan. Why? Why did this happen? God had set them free from bondage. God had given them His will that would help them to lead better, constructive lives, to follow Him. But there was a problem. What was the problem? The problem was they had been taken out of Egypt, but they could not get Egypt out of themselves. They still acted like Egyptians. You see, this change, it has to be more than just a change of scenery. It has to be an inward change. When we put on Christ, it's more than just telling someone I'm a Christian. The life has to change. It's ironic that they are now free from Egypt. but yet they are still slaves. They do not know how to act like free people. All they knew how to do was complain. And all they knew to do was ask to go back to the old way of life because they still felt like they were in bondage. It's sort of like the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7 in verse 24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He's stuck within himself. He can't free himself from bodily needs and wants and desires. We need to understand that God gives us a greater freedom than any of the things that we seek in our lives today. Romans 8 verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." And it takes law to do that. I guess we all lock our doors at night, don't we? Before we pillow our heads. I have four locks on my back door. You're not coming through that door without me knowing about it. Why do I do that? I'm free. I'm an American. I believe in liberty and justice for all. But not everybody looks at it that way. We still have tyranny. We still have crime in a free land. And I'm just like you tonight. When I go home, I'll turn the button, lock the door. You know, the emphasis is not just on the rules. It is on the character that we have to put within ourselves to obey the rules. God gives us the Spirit to serve. And the Spirit of service will renew us. It's as Paul said in Colossians chapters 2 and 3. He talks about putting off the old self, putting on the new, the changes that has to take place within us when we give ourselves to God. And it's more than just verbally saying it. It gives us power to get the world out of our minds and to put Christ in our minds. The only way for us to ever experience true freedom is to be enslaved by Jesus Christ. Because I have to tell you, my friends, freedom comes by slavery. We are given freedom through the death of Christ. Listen to Paul in Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, as we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, henceforth we should not serve sin." In other words, we have been freed from the evil and we have an opportunity to serve the good. And as Christians, that's what we do. You see, we have gone from a death to in resurrection. We have literally gone from a slavery to another slavery. From an evil to a good. Sin is no longer our master. We have been freed from sin and we have become slaves of righteousness. We have been freed. But then you stop and think, well, is this really freedom? I mean, yet we're still under that umbrella word there, slavery. You see, freedom is not just freedom from something. Freedom is also freedom in something. Now, it's ironic that we are free from some things because we don't have to be a part of them in our lives. But sometimes freeing ourselves from something can still lead to slavery and can still lead to tyranny. We can free ourselves, for example, we can free ourselves from education. We don't have to be educated. We can free ourselves from responsibilities. We can free ourselves from morality. We can free ourselves from ethics, from rules, from laws. And we can call that freedom, can't we? But that makes us ripe for bondage. We are perfect candidates for tyranny, both physically and spiritually. Freedom in Christ, however, in Christ, means that we can have love. When you're free from something, that doesn't give you love. Being in something gives you love and joy and peace. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 36. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. It is freedom from things that can keep us from doing the right thing. And it is in the freedom in things can allow us to live holy and righteous lives. So, with this thought in mind, let me ask you, today are you free or are you in bondage? Remember that only Jesus can make you free. He died for the sins that enslave you. He taught us how to live a free life, a life of liberty. And you do that by giving service to God. Today, my friends, if you are not a Christian, you are not free. But you can be free by obeying the gospel today. Come in faith, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, being buried with Him in baptism for the remission of sins, and you will experience true freedom. Freedom to love the Lord, freedom to love His children, freedom to serve, freedom to worship, freedom to give your life for the greatest cause that there ever could be, Jesus Christ. It may be that you have done this. And it may be that you have gone back into bondage because you have allowed some of these things in life to take over your life. Maybe you're trying to find freedom the wrong way. Or maybe you're looking in the wrong place. Come back to the Lord. He will give you true freedom. This morning, are you free or are you still in bondage? If you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.